Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now.
Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. Things are not going according to plan for the regime. Been a tough 2023 for the central planners. Things are actually falling apart. If you want some hope, this is the episode for you. Text it to your friends. Listen carefully. No hopium, just facts. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest and most important movement happening every single day at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
We are broadcasting live from San Diego for our TPUSA Faith Pastors Summit. 1,100 pastors from across the country will be here. It's our third pastor summit in the last 13 months. Really proud of the team. We're going to be talking about that throughout the next couple of days as we're broadcasting here from San Diego. There's a fascinating piece in the Washington Post that is starting to make some headlines. President Biden should not run again in 2024. David Ignatius writes for the Washington Post. This article is not a mistake. This article is not an accident. This article is a proxy. Somebody told Ignatius to write this article. Now, this is a sentiment that has been bubbling up. The polling is so bad. It's so catastrophic for Joe Biden. We're starting to see more and more people ask the question, why is Joe Biden going to be the nominee? Why is this guy going to run in 2024? Now, it's easier said than done to replace a sitting president. We talked about this last week. You get taxpayer-funded security, you get Air Force One, you can sign executive orders, you can literally give out free money to bureaucracies. It's a high standard to not want to run an incumbent. Incumbents are very, very hard to beat. Easier to raise money. I mean, Joe Biden could raise hundreds of millions of dollars from crony corporate donors just based on executive orders and favors he can do. Right, they could set up conference calls for the next 2 weeks, not even with him, just with the chief of staff, with Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna. Hey, you know, make sure you fund this pack and fund this thing and fund. It's nakedly crony. It's so much easier to raise money and to reelect an incumbent. Typically, Joe Biden is facing this impeachment inquiry. He's a traitor to the United States. His son is also a traitor to the United States. He could barely speak in coherent sentences. The American people are feeling a damaged economy. The border is wide open. The country is falling apart. We are seeing the most radical woke social issues on the march in our schools and our classrooms. And polling shows that Donald Trump is neck and neck. Again, I don't love poll watching. Those of you that watch this program, you know that. But now we're starting to see an orchestrated drumbeat that is fascinating. This is not some sort of one-off thing. You do not have David Ignatius in the Washington Post just go off the reservation and write an op-ed like this. No, this is a direct warning shot to Joe Biden. And you might see the beginning stages of a replacement strategy of Joe Biden. What that looks like, I don't know. And I'll be honest, about a year and a half ago, we made the prediction. And so far, the prediction is wrong. So far, I have been wrong. And I totally acknowledge it. I did not think Joe Biden would make it this long. I didn't think he'd make it this long physically. The guy couldn't walk upstairs a year and a half ago. I mean, it's remarkable. They're really keeping this guy together. I didn't think that he was going to be at the place right now where they were going to make him the nominee. But it looks like they're ramping up. They're hiring staff. They're doing messaging, running ads. But not everybody's on board. 69%. 69%. Remarkable. Including a majority of Americans, 69% of Democrats want a different candidate. But we must remember that overemphasizing on candidates, that's our job in the media. You have to be a very, very, very bad candidate to receive this sort of treatment from David Ignatius, because candidate selection has been de-emphasized in recent years. Emphasizing candidate and candidate quality is too risky for the party of the oligarchy. Understand, in 1992, the Democrats nominated Bill Clinton to run against Herbert Walker Bush, and of course, Ross Perot is a third party. Bill Clinton was the more interesting candidate in 1992. Played a saxophone, charismatic. He's a bad guy, he's a heathen, Epstein, all that stuff, but he was a better candidate in 1992. Interestingly, it was Republicans in the 2000 election and the 2004 election that were far more interested in the boring work, far more interested in what would be considered the clipboard and tennis shoes and ballot chasing. Karl Rove, of whom I'm not a fan of, built a amazing political machine in 2004. The Democrats thought that they could run John Kerry in 2004 and be more interesting than George W. Bush. But 2008 changed everything. In 2008, Democrats were desperate. They wanted to get power back. And they went all in. Because remember, Hillary Rodham Clinton was the Jeb Bush of 2008. Hillary Rodham Clinton was supposed to be president. Hillary Rodham Clinton has been planning since she was a sophomore at Wellesley College that she was going to be president. She wrote it. Her whole life was about doing whatever it took. She turned a blind eye to Bill Clinton sleeping around. She pretended to be married to Bill Clinton. She did everything that you needed to do. She was an obedient first lady covered for his antics. She became a senator from New York, even though she's as much a New Yorker as I am. She just appeared as a carpetbagger. Like, sure, yeah, okay, become a senator. Her whole life was about becoming president in 2008. And then a little bit of a rebellious campaign was launched in the heartland. Springfield, Illinois, on a very chilly day, Barack Hussein Obama, with a very suspicious past and a funny sounding name, with a talented political team. You got to give them credit. David Plouffe, David Axelrod, they came together, the kind of Chicago mafia, and they said, hey, we can make a run at these Clinton guys. And to their credit, Axelrod and Plouffe, and you can read it in the book, Audacity to Win, they said, what if we run a sexier campaign, more interesting campaign? Remember, this is the advent of the internet. Beginning of online fundraising. And Hillary Rodham Clinton was running an old-fashioned, transactional, super-delegate Democrat boring campaign. Raise the money, cronyism, insider, I'm entitled to this. My husband, in quotes, was president. I'm going to be president. Barack Obama ran a grassroots campaign, spent a lot of time in Iowa. No one really took him seriously until Obama started to draw crowds. Obama was charismatic. Obama was interesting. He could be the first black president. Holy moly, the media started to fawn over him, and Hillary Rodham Clinton got very angry. This has really been whitewashed in history. How nasty the Hillary Clinton-Barack Obama campaign was in 2008. She was the Jeb Bush of that race, raising all this money, and here comes this smooth-talking dude. And the Democrats went all in on candidate selection, and it worked. We ran John McCain, who, not my favorite, I'm at a pastor summit here. We'll just leave John McCain aside. John McCain should not have been the nominee. And Barack Obama didn't just win. He almost won Georgia. He won North Carolina. If I'm not mistaken, Barack Obama won Indiana in 2008. It's unbelievable. He won Indiana. The guy won the state of Indiana. It was not just the sweep. They took over state legislators. They took over governors. They took over AGs. They took over everything. The Obama movement was larger than life. They rode this idea of candidate enthusiasm and this idea of hope and change and all of that. But you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And Obama got reelected in 2012, but then Republican voters said, our turn. We want a white Obama. And the only, I mean, you had Jeb Bush, you had Marco Rubio. And who was the only person that could potentially play the charismatic game as talented as Barack Obama? Donald Trump. So Donald Trump comes on the scene and he blows everything up. Live by the sword, he die by the sword. And then they renominate Hillary Rodham Clinton, the person who couldn't beat Barack Obama in the 2008 primary. And the Democrats, who built their coalition and built their power based on the Hollywoodification of American politics, all of a sudden they suffered from that in 2016. Trump said, well, two could play this game. Make America great again. You should be in jail. We'll send them back to Mexico. The wall got 10 feet taller. We're going to tweet. We're going to do stuff. We're going to make it interesting. We're going to turn politics into entertainment. And Donald Trump did that. And then at that moment, when Donald Trump won the presidency in 2016, and they start freaking out, and they said, oh, my goodness, you're trying to tell me that we're not going to be in power. A decision was made. Timeout end. We're going to suspend indefinitely this idea that candidates matter. And they created what's called the oligarchy of elections. They call it democracy, mass mail-in balloting, signature verification, standards relaxed, all this stuff across the board where they want to say candidates are too risky, meaning we can run the boring guy, John Fetterman, because we control the plumbing of the elections. Doesn't matter how good your candidate is. And here comes Joe Biden, which I will complete this story because it all comes into the 2024 election. They're trying to change the way elections operate. They never want the quality of the candidate to matter again.
I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Okay, so I know that was a little bit of history and maybe a little bit more than you would have liked, but I think it's important to understand. So here's where Joe Biden comes into place, where the Democrat oligarchs look at this as a businessman would. A businessman, everything a major business tries to do, major corporation, is try to limit risk, create replaceable parts, cogs in a wheel. Candidate quality and candidate selection, there's far too many questions involved in that. So therefore, they create a machine where even if John Fetterman has a stroke and he can't speak, they're still able to get him quote unquote elected because they chase pieces of paper, they micro-target it. This goes to show how many different organizing tools, volunteer deployment, voter contact, research, data analytics and modeling, voter engagement, volunteer and activist mobilization, fundraising, movement-wide messaging and media companies and nonprofits that exist on the left. And it is political technology industry landscape on the left. It's on screen right now. Thank you. And so this is hundreds of different outside groups, not even including the DNC, that build this oligarchy. And Republicans have nothing even close to this, right? Nothing even close. So they have hundreds of different companies together. This is what they are betting on in 2024. What's on your screen or has been on your screen? Not candidate quality or candidate selection. We as Republicans, as we've said many times on this program, are far too concerned about DeSantis or Nikki Haley or Trump. It doesn't matter. What matters, what was just shown on your screen. We're going to put it on charliekirk.com, by the way, for reference point. This is why we are not successful far too many times, because they build this incredible ecosystem, an impressive ecosystem. Okay. So David Ignatius, though, sends out a little bit of a salvo, a little bit of volley from the deep state, the intel agencies. David Ignatius is just the spokesperson for the Mockingbird Media and especially the deeper parts of the CIA and the FBI. Ignatius goes on Morning Joe to say, I don't think Joe Biden should run again in 2024. This is a shot across the bow. They're running out of time. There's a timing aspect here, too, that I'm going to get into in a second. So this is perfectly timed. They got to make a choice soon. They have to make a choice soon, largely because there's a Democrat convention and nomination and superdelegates, all this different sort of stuff. Play cut 65.
This combination of Joe Biden at the top of the ticket and the polls show people feel uneasy about somebody who's 82 serving another 4-year term. That the combination of that and people's uneasiness is reflected in polls about the vice president succeeding him. Time is running out. In another month, it's going to be too late to have this conversation. So I thought before it was locked in stone, it was worth at least raising.
I know many of you in the audience are, who's David Ignatius? Here's the best way that I could describe it. Imagine if one of the top intellectuals on the conservative side, who's someone that would be comparable in previous years when he was like a George Will, if he was still 10 years ago, George Will, that would be a good way to kind of compare it. So it would have received a fair amount of attention. It would be syndicated, reposted. So he is the top of funnel of the American ruling class zeitgeist narrative war. David Ignatius is. A lot of people look up to him on the intel side, the deep state, the defender of the Leviathan. They say, oh, wow, David Ignatius. So this is not some sort of mistake. Ignatius did not just write this and he's getting calls from people angry. No, David Ignatius did this as a shot across the bow as a leading pincer movement against Joe Biden, because they are now questioning everything in life has limits. Everything in life has limits, including the Democrat political machine, including that thing I put up on screen. Even that machine is beatable with a candidate that weighs you down so, 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 so much. Ignatius writes, politicians who know Biden well say that if he were convinced that Trump were truly vanquished, he would feel he had accomplished his political mission. He would run again if he believes in his gut that Trump will be the GOP nominee and that he has the best chance to defeat Trump and save the country from the nightmare of a revenge presidency. Biden has a chance to say no to himself this time by withdrawing from the 2024 race. It might not be character for Biden, but it would be wise choice for the country, Ignatius wrote. Their machine can definitely get them an extra 3 points in Georgia, an extra 4 points in Pennsylvania. It can't get them an extra 15 points. There are limitations. And so the smart people in the Democrat Party, the people that do this for a living, the Republicans were so behind the ball. They're now saying, hold on a second. This thing is way too close for comfort. You got the snow labels thing. You got Cornel West. Republicans are getting smart about early voting. You got Joe Biden weighing us down. We are not confident. This here is David Ignatius telling you that the 2024 race is all but settled.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie.
So can we put that flowchart up there again really quick? So here's what this flowchart is. Again, you could find it if you research it. This is all the different companies and nonprofits that we know of that work in tandem to help elect Democrats. This is why they're so confident, or were so confident, running Joe Biden. But all things have limits. This thing you're looking at on screen and on podcasting, we're going to put it on charliekirk.com. This is a massive political ecosystem that they've built. And it makes sense because we're told, oh, there's a red wave coming. There's a red wave coming. This machine can probably get them an extra 3-4%, but not an extra 5-10%. In 2016, when Donald Trump won the presidency, the Green Party was on the ballot in all the major states. In fact, Democrats got so angry that Jill Stein ran as the Green Party because she received enough votes that if Hillary Clinton would have received all those votes, Hillary Clinton would have defeated Donald Trump. So they blamed the Green Party for one of the reasons why Donald Trump became president. In 2020, the Green Party was not on the ballot. It was hard to collect signatures, and the Democrat regime went hard after the Green Party. They sued and they kicked them off the ballot in the states that matter. It makes you think, if the Green Party would have been on the ballot in Arizona, in Wisconsin, and in Georgia, would Donald Trump have been able to win? Maybe. There was no Green Party in Pennsylvania either. So there's no guarantees, but what the Democrats did, and it was very smart in 2020, it was well planned, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it again. Let me be clear. I do not think they'll be able to do it the same way that it is. They created a referendum type election against Donald Trump in 2020, a vote of no confidence, almost a European parliamentary pressure release valve, pressure cooker election. That was the precondition. You can't criticize Joe Biden because they kept Joe Biden unassailable. He put him in a basement. They literally censored any sort of the dissenting views against him in 2020. Intel agencies, 50 people signing it. John Brennan, Tony Blinken was the architect of that. I lost my Twitter account. It was prevent defense, basically. Plus all the mass mail-in balloting, the death counts of COVID every single day on CNN, constantly going after Trump's legitimacy, constantly going after the administration every single day. And then on top of it, widespread chaos and rioting in the summer of 2020, making it feel as if make it stop, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. Right. So Joe Biden was the make it stop option. And they did it not just through that, but they micro-targeting and just voluminous amounts of political advertising. We remember in 2020, it was overwhelming. And every major institution, including Donald Trump's own government, was against him. That's what's amazing. That Donald Trump's own government that he was tasked with constitutionally overseeing. And then there was no Green Party options. There was no label options. So anyone that voted was just left with, do you want to continue the chaos or do you want a reprieve? Remember Joe Biden? He framed himself as a reprieve to the chaos and cooler heads prevail. And we're going to get back to greener pastures in times we all agree. We knew and we warned. And unfortunately, our message wasn't consumed by enough people. We knew it was gibberish. It was nonsense. Better days ahead and all that. Garbage. Borders are open. We have more chaos than ever before. It's just too bad that ended up happening. And then, of course, all the other election nonsense that happened on top of it, Zucker boxes and mass mail-in voting and the relaxing of signature verification standards and all that stuff. But 2024, as it is right now, is developing into a much different race. Number one, will they be able to replicate the panic and the cause for changing elections like they did with COVID in 2020? I sure hope not, but they might try. So that's number one. Whether it be climate change, environmental crisis, or COVID-type crisis, it's going to be hard for them to do it again because there's been such a massive preemptive "we will not comply" PR campaign, great to the great credit of our movement. But also, if there's more than one candidate on the ballot, including Green Party candidates, all of a sudden, this kind of vote of no confidence is hard. And if they try to run that playbook again with Joe Biden v. Trump, Joe Biden's the incumbent. So what they're going to try to do, and I don't know if it will work, they'll try to frame the race as vote for Joe Biden to refute Trump. That's not easy to do when you're the incumbent, because it's more of a referendum on your actions than a referendum on the other guy's actions. And you could make the argument that Donald Trump is a far better candidate when he is out of office than when Donald Trump is in office. I think that's probably true. He has far more flexibility, far more movement, ability to critique and criticize, and quite honestly, to contrast. Donald Trump is not just a random person then running for the presidency in 2024. He was a terrific president with far better economic metrics, far better with the border. Donald Trump, because of the indictments, in a paradoxical way, is actually more nimble and far more unshackled than he would be if he was kind of in a traditional political box. Okay, so Cornel West looks like he's going for it. Last week, Cornel West, black Marxist, been around for a while, CornelWest24.org writes, Cornel West for president announces the hiring of political activist, author, and advisor Peter Dow as campaign manager. This came out on Sunday. This is infuriating. Democrats. So Peter Dow is a former member of the Democrat Party. He's not exactly a blue chip hire, but Peter Dow's a smart person. And Peter Dow has been around for a while in left wing politics. Peter Dow, again, it's not exactly the top level person that you would hire, but he had some affiliation with the Bernie Sanders campaign. He was involved and was a communications advisor to John Kerry in 2004 presidential race. 2006, he was hired by Hillary Clinton. So he's been around for quite some time. This guy, Peter Dow. And now he's the campaign manager for Cornel West. And you have these two simultaneous freakouts that are happening. By the way, here's just some prediction. You're about to see Democrats absolutely go nuts and bananas in the next 3 to 5 months. I'm just telling you right now, we are going to have the most fun MSNBC clips we've ever seen because their plan is not working the way they thought it would. They still might, quote unquote, capture the White House in 2024. So I'm not trying to get your hopes up. but it's going to be deliciously hilarious the next 5 or 6 months because they thought this thing, this goose would be cooked by now. They thought Trump would be down in the polls. They thought Trump would be within like a 5-point Republican primary, super competitive. None of that stuff is materializing. Instead, it's Joe Biden that has been sinking. Instead, it's all these external groups that you have No Labels, which is freaking them out. You got Cornel West, which is freaking them out. So you have all these simultaneous things happening. And they thought DeSantis was going to run within 5 points of Trump. That's not happening. So you're going to see a lot of anger in the media because they thought this would be a cakewalk and it's turning into a race. The best analogy I could say is that there was a great memory I have where Appalachian State from Boone, North Carolina. You remember this, Brian? They go into the big house. Was that 20 years ago? Chad Henne was coach, I think. And it's a college football analogy for all of you. Keep the sword home. And they come in, and I'll never forget. I don't think Schembechler was the coach. Who's the coach? That was past Schembechler. Anyway, I'll never forget. I was watching the game. Appalachian State goes into the big house, and the announcers and the coach of Michigan says, we didn't even think this would be a game at halftime. And they ended up losing the game, I think 31-30, something like that. And it was week one, big house. Michigan was rated number 2 in the country, unrated Appalachian State, 16, 17 years ago. They come in and shock the world. And it was this thing where they thought at halftime, why are we even close? And there was almost this anger and this resentment and this bitterness that forced Michigan to not play their best game in the second half of this game. And you see this in sports all the time where you have this massive expectation that we're going to blow this team out by 40 points. And then the game becomes closer than you want. You almost get annoyed. That's exactly what is going to happen right now with the Democrats. I'm not saying that we are going to be ultimately successful because of it, because they control everything. They control the corporations. They control the pharmaceuticals. They control all of it, right? So we have these massive power centers that we have to continue to fight and fight and fight and fight. But this, if you were to take a temperature check, if you were to try to take a grade, if you were to try to get within the inner Democrat circles, their text messages, hey, how are things going? This is not going nearly as well as they thought it would. And you're going to see a Democrat panic attack on television. David Ignatius writing this is not exactly rolling hills and roses for the Democrat Party. This is not ideal to have one of the leading members of the Democrat intelligentsia come out and say, oh, by the way, you know, Joe Biden shouldn't run for the presidency. That's not part of the plan. Okay. This is, in some ways, it could be a little bit of panic. The administrative state is worried because all they have is power. This is their religion. This is their attachment. If they don't win, they go into existential despair. You saw it with that famous meme of that girl just screaming at the sky. And Cornel West running, not part of the plan. No Labels drafting a candidate, not part of the plan. Joe Biden running neck and neck with Trump, not part of the plan. Trump facing 500 years in federal prison, but actually stronger than he was in 2020, not part of the plan. Republicans talking about early voting, not part of the plan. And look, I don't do hopium. I'm not saying, oh, well, we're going to win. I'm saying that there is a shot, as Jim Carrey would say. You're telling me there's a chance. Said differently, the Democrats have tried to micromanage everything. And instead, they might have overplanned this thing. Instead, they've been focusing politics as way too much of a science and less as an art. Republicans, we are all art when it comes to politics. Rallies, messaging, vibes, attitudes, and like zero science. Democrats are all science and they become zero art. And it turns out it's really hard to centrally plan anything, let alone political systems. Very hard, especially in a country that's divided 50-50. They've tried to make it so they couldn't lose rather than they try to deserve to win. Imagine if they tried to have a good presidency, but they couldn't do that. And if we were to take an honest temperature check right now of Democrats grading Democrats, they are not happy where they're standing right now. And that is the honest truth. Further evidence to our hypothesis, Robert Reich, who is a quasi-socialist Marxist left-winger, third-party candidates will help Trump win, says Robert Reich, the party of democracy. He's always talking about democracy. Less options are better. We need less options. If a third-party candidate takes even a small part of the anti-Trump away from Biden, Trump is likely to be returned to the White House. I got to give our show credit. We were way ahead of the curve here. I think we've been talking about this for months. And all of a sudden, people are waking up to it. And that's why you guys watch the show and support the show, that if you want the news 90 days ahead of time, listen to this program. All of a sudden, the media's like, wait a second, this Cornel West thing. Because here's what the plan was supposed to be. The plan was supposed to be this. Number one, they thought, as of today, September 13th, 2023, number one, Donald Trump would be in a very competitive primary. That was their first false assumption. You deploy Chris Christie, full media support. Ron DeSantis flatlining has been one of the unexpected developments of the anti-Trump movement in the last 6 months. They thought for certain Donald Trump would get bloodied and damaged in the primary. Messed up their whole plan, to be perfectly honest with you. Their whole plan was civil war, Trump getting nasty, and it's like there's no race. There's no debate. There's no sound bites. Do you even hear from Governor DeSantis anymore? And I say this as an admirer of his and someone who is a cheerleader for his wonderful governorship of Florida. You don't even hear about him anymore. It's like completely out of the conversation. So that's number one. That did not go according to plan. Number two, they had lawfare, right? Start with Alvin Bragg with his ridiculous indictment, then Jack Smith 1, Jack Smith 2, and then Big Fannie Willis. And yet, with each indictment, Trump raises more money, his polls actually strengthen, people view it as nakedly political. That's number two. Number three, the regime underestimated about how unpopular Joe Biden was getting. They just kind of ignored it. They're kind of like, ah, whatever. And then it was happening month after month after month. And then they send Chuck U. Schumer on some sort of PR blitz a couple months ago. Wow, the economy's actually wonderful. Yeah, people are not buying it. Talk to anybody. I'm telling you, people are very rank and file, the ordinary, the muscular class. If you are not like an oligarch or a trust funder in Kennebunkport, Hamptons, Aspen, Sun Valley, you are not happy with this economy. The rank and file are feeling the squeeze. They are not able to survive financially right now. Lots of debt being accrued. It's not good. So that's number three. Number four, they're all of a sudden looking around and Republicans are starting to get a little bit smarter about the early voting thing. They're seeing what Turning Point Action is doing. We're hiring up like crazy to do the early vote stuff. They're seeing a very focused media campaign on just a couple states. Because the Mockingbird media is like, oh, no, no, focus on Pennsylvania. We're like, eh, it's actually more about Maricopa, Pima, Pinal, Yavapai, Gwinnett, Cobb, Fulton, Dane, Kenosha, Milwaukee. They don't like that. They don't like that kind of focus. And then, of course, the other thing that's really important is they did not expect this third party thing. This third party thing that is now popping up. And it wouldn't it just be poetically beautiful, just from the divine, that the party that brags about being the political movement of experts that try to centrally plan everything from the masks you wear in the car to the vaccines you take also can't actually plan the 2024 election. Wouldn't that just be awesome? They're technocrats, right? They believe in a philosopher king agenda. We are smart. You are not. We can plan this thing up. And their plan is not going well. That does not mean we're going to win, but we are in a far healthier position right now, on September 13, 2023, than anyone in the oligarchs thought. Ready, set, match. Football was launched in early January this year. They thought, this is what they thought. They thought Trump would be in a 5-point race with Ron DeSantis. They thought Trump would be demoralized and completely erratic because of the indictments. They thought Joe Biden would be up 5 to 10 points in all the polls. They thought Republicans would be focused on the primary, not focused on the general election. And they thought all these third party candidates would just take the knee and basically come in to the machinery of the Democrat Party. And none of that has happened. Cornel West has already qualified for the Arizona ballot. Boom. I'm guarantee you plenty of these weird, wacky Marxists at Arizona State University are going to go, I'll vote for Cornel West. Well, that's not a vote for Biden. Might happen in Wisconsin and Georgia. You're living through, take a step back, everybody. You are living through an implosion of a 2024 centralized plan that is not going well for them. Get to work. Do the hard stuff. Believe. The bad guys are broadcasting what could be described as a panic attack. There is hope. Get to work.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.